You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Now we can make that difference. A lot of great
around. This is the Gaffer and Hooligan Podcast. Discussions, debates, and opinions on Major League Soccer and the CONCACAF region from a Canadian perspective. Hosted by Kamal Hilton.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Gaffer and Hooligan. This is Kamal Hilton with Aaron Nielsen.
Hey Kamal, we're in a 70s easy listening radio rock station.
Yeah, I don't know how well this is coming across. I hope you can hear us. But yeah,
we're having our annual or one of our monthly PXI lunch. So
yeah,
discussing what
meeting.
We're doing. I know, discussing what we're going to do on PXI. So we thought I'd do a podcast along the way.
Yeah.
Our podcast nook, this table. So if anyone comes down, they can join us for drinks and sandwiches.
Yeah, and I think it's a perfect time to do it because we were discussing the draft.
And
the fallout.
Ruining our podcast.
Basically, yeah, we were talking about all the things we were going to talk about. I don't know if it's with you or to you or at you guys. But yeah, I guess, I don't know, to start, my general impression of the draft is...
Well, I think this was your closest connection to the draft. Like, on Prospect 11, I know people know stuff, but on the Twitter account, you're doing live tweets of the draft. I even saw you post trades and stuff. And part of that was just because prior to it, in the last podcast we did, we talked about this top 40 list that we saw of players who we liked in the draft. And, you know, we knew that most of these guys would go into the first round, which happened to be the case. And so that's why you were doing it. But, you know, I missed it because I had other obligations. But, you know, how did it feel? Like, your part, did it... Were you super drafted? Were you all hyped up and excited? And...
Well, I mean, not as excited as maybe some other people. But in general, I mean, you know, I was not thrown for a loop in terms of the first pick and what happened.
Yeah, there's trades and all wacky
stuff. But it's like,
yeah,
for the first pick to be traded,
yeah,
and like, not even the first pick, like a few picks got traded. It was a little bit strange. I think, look, just if you want to mention some teams.
Yeah, sure.
Philadelphia, I think they came out of it really well.
Yeah, no, I thought they did very well. Now, it's interesting because I think you and I, Prospect 11, I guess, were one of the first people to sort of praise Keegan Rosenberry as a quality player and a versatile player, which is very good for a young player in MLS. And the interesting thing with him is he actually played with the, before USL, he actually played with the Philadelphia Reserve team. And so the implications was going into the draft that he would qualify for homegrown status. And so when he didn't qualify for homegrown status, I was slightly concerned that he might fall down the list a bit, but I was, you know, it's good that he got, you know, I knew Philadelphia knew him. And it's just, it's interesting because the MLS basically allowed Philadelphia to waste the pick, right?
Yeah.
Because they should have gave him the homegrown status before, but MLS.
Yeah,
right?
I think they just wanted to make sure they got their guy.
Yeah.
So they moved in order to do that. I think you want to just project of what that does for their team to have Yarrow with Rosenberry. I think that's a huge thing. They were talking about like they can play beside each other. One can be the fullback.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's they have experience with that. That's what they did in Georgetown, right? So they're just transitioning to it. You know, it's interesting because, you know, if we had this conversation, we did have this conversation, but we had this conversation 6 months, 4 months, 2 months ago, Yara would have been the guaranteed number one pick. And the interesting thing about him is I've been familiar with Joshua Yara for a number of years because he was part of the right to play thing in Ghana. And I think I mentioned this in a previous pod, and he went to a Milk Cup, which is a very high-praised youth tournament where a lot of scouts hang out at. And a scout I knew saw him and was a little concerned about him. And it seems that concern was noticed in the draft because people were hesitant about where he was going to go in the draft. And I think he's a quality player. I think it's interesting because he's not your typical center back, right? He's, you know, the comparison, I compare him to Michael Bradley almost. You know, a guy who's very active in the defensive end of the pitch, which is very good in modern soccer. But he's not the guy who's going to be able to one-on-one with the 6'4", you know. I think Lauren would have a field day with him if they're going one-on-one against each other.
Yeah. I think, you know, other than that, some other things I took away was, you know, some of the picks that happened, especially late in the draft, but throughout the draft, I think some of them were steals.
Yeah.
I think if you want to talk steals.
Well, I think it's if we're going later in the draft, I think the first thing we should mention is Eric Verso and going to Montreal. And, you know, it's, we have a personal semi-relationships to that. But, you know, I think that's a very good pick for, I think it's good for him. You know, you would like to, for his sake, you'd like them to go earlier just to almost guarantee the salary and stuff like that. But I think Montreal is a good fit, and it's interesting because I wrote an article on Red Nation Online about drafting for Montreal and how difficult it is because Montreal want players who can come right in and be intelligent enough to play within their system. And I think Eric Verso is a guy who can do that.
Yeah, I think for me...
And I'm giving credit to Prospect 11 for that draft.
That's true. Honestly, if you want to talk my honest opinion, now, I don't know if they plan to start him off with FC Montreal first or not, but the fact that Drogba's coming back, if Eric works his way into getting significant playing time with Montreal, that's the type of player that Drogba can benefit from having in terms of being a playmaker. Because we saw the last few years, Montreal's midfield is basically a bunch of defensive midfielders.
Yeah,
nobody can really play the ball, and they put a lot of pressure on Piatti. To be the playmaker.
So if
you have a couple guys who
I think because of that, and because Drago's coming back, I think Montreal's gonna be a very exciting team to watch out for next season.
I think the other team that got a couple of steals, and it's interesting to say the defending champions got some steals in the draft.
Well, partly, you know, it's not surprising, right? Because the best teams are the smartest teams, right? You know, but yeah.
But I mean, you know, grabbing Ben Polk.
Yeah.
He comes in with a good story.
And
he's an interesting player. And then Nico Brett in the second.
Well, it also gives me a chance to rail on Toronto FC.
Yeah, I think those two were really smart picks.
Yeah.
Trying to think of some others.
If I want to give a couple takes in, I thought Orlando with Richie Lara because of his experience with playing with Lauren at Sigma. And I think, you can comment on this as well, but I think Orlando does very well exploiting the wide players, and I think that will benefit Lara because I think he'll be allowed to think offense first opposed to being a defensive midfielder, which he might have been on other clubs. I'll save the Jamaicans for you, but Jordan McCrary, who New York Revolution. It was interesting about him because we were getting commentary or we were getting questions from USL and NSL teams about his availability before the draft, thinking that he'd be available for USL and NSL team. And I said to these teams, no, I think he's going to be a top pick. And I know he was out last year with an ACL injury. But durable right back. And I think, it's not surprising New England, because New England has a history of developing good young American defenders.
Yeah. And for me, you mentioned the Jamaicans. I mean, Colness going fifth to RSL. I think that's
I'm giving PXI credit for that.
I think...
Our interview, man.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a really good fit for them, for how they play. And even if he goes and plays with... Well, I don't think he's going to play with the Monarchs.
Well, I think it's interesting because he'll probably be teamed up, especially if he's in that sort of possession midfielder, defensive and holding midfielder, him and Allen, on that right wing with their speed and ball control. I think that's very exciting, right? And not only for 2016, but 2 or 3 years down the road also in MLS.
Nico Brett, what I'll say about him is, they have a really good project player on their hands.
Yeah.
If they can get him acclimated to how Caleb Porter sets up his team and how he wants to play, provided he...
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about them is they're doing some crazy deals with... And we'll go into the homegrown players and other signings, but they're doing some crazy things with T2 and bringing in some prospects from Nigeria and all over the world. They just brought in a Barcelona B player yesterday. So I think that's going to be, like, you know... Portland Timbers in your local USL town, go and check that game, because I think they're going to be very exciting. But even on a higher level, I think, well, it's good, because, you know, with Porter, he's used to those sort of speedy wingers with his time in Akron and his time in Portland. And, you know, I was happy, you know, it's funny, because in a lot of these cases, I think, you know, it's good that these guys got drafted because we profiled them, but Nico Brett was one of those guys, and again, one of those guys, because he went to Jamaica, was one of those guys we profiled very early, who people questioned us even profiling. And so they're like, who's this guy? You know, he goes for Robert Morris. I don't know this guy. And, you know, so I think he was going to be successful anyway, but it's good to see him get picked in the draft and show that, you know, that he's worth it and all this kind of stuff.
And then the other thing I would say I notice about the draft itself is, I guess, the difference between teams that put a lot of stock in the draft versus teams that don't put any
LA?
Stock in the draft.
LA.
Sporting Kansas City.
Well, LA gave up in the third round, man.
Sporting Kansas City, they wanted Tar Bell, and when they didn't get him, they're like, okay, we don't care about the draft anymore.
Yeah. Well, I know, and it was interesting how Tar Bell was wanted by so many teams, because, well, it's interesting because he was wanted, and then other top keepers who we had in our top 100 and our top 40 were slightly ignored. You know, the big one is Callum Irving, who did sign an MLS contract, so he's still signed to an MLS team. But, you know, I questioned FC Dallas, you know, for questioning picks now. I questioned FC Dallas and Harmon. I think he's good. I think he's like 6'7", and he has some talent. But certainly in college, he didn't prove himself to be a better keeper than Irving and a couple other gut keepers. So I think Tarbell, you know, the other team, of course, is I think Tarbell changed Toronto FC's draft direction, right? Because Tarbell was gone. I think they were a guy that Liara, Tarbell were probably the two guys that Toronto FC were looking at. And then they went crazy. Well, you know, it's funny because we have, you know, this is always these funny stories. So we had Endo in our top 100 all year, right? And I liked him to a certain extent, right? Now, we had this conversation in our last podcast where if I was a team, you know, I would know where guys are projected being picked. So I'm not going to pick a ninth pick on a guy who's supposed to be picked 50th in the draft, right? Because I don't think any other team would have picked Endo.
Yeah, that's my thing that I noticed about everything. Everything was going...
So, and you know, and the criticism against Endo is he's Japanese, so he counts as a foreign player. He's 20, turning 25, or, I think, in the summer. So. And he's, you know, he's a good, interesting player, but he's not a talent. Like, he's not a guy you're going to get excited about or anything like that, right? So he just seems to be, you know, our fellow Toronto FC fans who we talk regularly with said, there's TFC arrogance again, right? But, so I don't go that far. And then, you know, I think they kind of made up for that with their later picks. I thought Darius Madison. It's ironic because I think Darius Madison's a better player than Endo, and I think he'll turn out to be the better player in MLS or in USL than Endo. And I think the other guy they draft, Trader, who I thought was a decent quality, you know, good size central midfielder who could certainly provide asset to TFC 2 and potentially play with TFC.
Yeah, and then, so like I was saying, in terms of the some teams not really caring so much of, or not putting a lot of stock in the draft. Or no, wait, first let me go back a little bit. A couple of picks that I found a little puzzling myself. It was Haji Berry from Orlando. I know they know him because he played at Central Florida, so I know that's why they picked him.
Well, the reason why we did not have him in our top 40, and you know, certainly you can talk about it as well, but he's an athletic guy, right? And the problem is historically within the MLS, is a lot of these athletic guys get drafted and they don't pan out in the MLS because they don't have the footballing IQ or the other necessary skills to become a professional player, right? I think Orlando themselves are going very athletic and dynamic. So, and they have an Orlando 2 team this year, so maybe they're thinking he fits into that situation. But again, I'm not surprised he was picked where he was. I wouldn't pick through that pick myself.
But my whole thing is, like, that's a guy, like we were saying about Endo, that's a guy you could have got a little later.
Well, it's not sure because of his athletic prowess, right? Like, he's a guy teams might take a shot at. And so, again, it doesn't surprise me. Like, I think, you know, and again, we talked about this in the last podcast. I think if the MLS teams were more versed and more professional, or I don't know if professional is the word, but more experienced, they probably stop taking these random shots on the athletic. You know, it's the guy who picks the 7'7" Mongolian guy in the NBA draft. Like, do you really think he's going to do anything? But, you know, he's 7'7", right? You know, you got, so, you know, it's a Raptors now. It's, you know, 7'7" Brazilian, but, you know, so I understand, like, I think your disagreement is perfect, but I just think that I understand why teams still go for the athletic talent.
Yeah, and then there's like a couple other guys like that, I would say, went in the first round. Apia.
Yeah, again, similar story.
Yeah, so those were ones I kind of questioned. But
yeah, and the problem I have with that, just to add to that, is these guys have been in college for 4 years, right? We've followed them, or, you know, we followed for 4 years. So if they're really this dynamic and just amazing, you would have known, right? Like, you're not, you know, it's funny. It's like sometimes GMs like to go against the grain, but they're not dealing with players they've only seen. Well, maybe some of them have at the combine, but you're not dealing with players you've only seen for one day. These are guys who played, you know, 60 to 100 games in college. So you had every shot to go and properly scout these players. And to be honest with you, you know, Appiah was a decent player, played Cincinnati, who was a struggling university in soccer, and never really stood out. So, you know, I can understand the criticism there.
And then the other thing was that I was going to get into before I kind of backtrack was the homegrown.
Okay.
So the one team that I saw get a lot of their work in before the draft was New York Red Bulls.
Mm.
They signed like 18 guys to homegrown contracts, and then they still got a pretty good guy.
Yeah, I thought their draft was good because it added to that, right? Like, they took a risk, but the risk, I think, is rewarding because they have the sturdy guys already connected with the homegrown picks. Mm.
So, you want to get into their homegrowns themselves?
Well, I like Allen. I've always liked Allen. He was, again, one of our first guys that we had on PXI as a profile. You know, just scores every time he ever touched the ball all through his career. And then I like Mule, who was Allen's teammate in Georgetown. I'm a little, you know, they knew, like, they had their high-end homegrown guys, and then they had their low-end homegrown guys, so some of the guys are quality players, but they know when, like, I think Allen, Mule, probably Etienne, would be top 10 picks in the draft if I was drafting them, if they weren't homegrown guys, right? I think the other guys are more lower end in the draft, but I think they could be useful in the Red Bull situation.
And then, did you want to get into Jordan Morris?
We can, yeah, sure.
You know, okay, so he went to Werder Bremen for a little bit. So I was reading a few things in some Twitter takes in the U.S. soccer media about his decision to not sign with them and sign with the Sounders and blah, blah, blah. So it was just...
Yeah, no, I think I'm surprised initially because I knew that the Bundesliga team was going to pay him more money. The thing I found funny was prior to him signing, almost common Twitter comment was, oh, they'll never give a DP guy 200 grand, it's not worth it, right? And I knew if he was going to come to the MLS that he would be in that price range. I think he's getting 225 a year to start. And I think he's worth it if MLS would sell him for, you know, millions of dollars in a few seasons like they did with Mega. It was, you know, it's funny because, you know, when we started PXI, the first project we did was who's at the top prospects in American soccer, right? Viega, Jordan Morris, Holness, you know, Warren, you know, so it's like, you know, they're all coming through, which is great to see. And I think he'll be an interesting, I think he's a dynamic, I think he's an interesting player in the MLS. I think he's good enough to play and to be competitive in the MLS. And I think because of his salary, I think Seattle's going to give him a chance to start, and he'll be up front with Martin and Dempsey.
Yeah,
so
you're talking about a front three.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not too... I need to see, like, their full team and how...
Well, again, I always thought, like you know, my evaluation of Morris was always to Wayne Rooney, right? And partly because he's size and similar to that. But I think, because of his size, I think Morris could play a deeper... Like, you know, they could do almost a Christmas tree and have Dempsey and Morris behind Martin up front. And I think that could be effective. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, all those homegrown signings, I'm interested to see how they work and whether some of them will get significant time. We do expect Morris to get significant.
Yeah, and I'm sort of jumping ahead of ourselves because in the next part, or as the podcast continues, we're going to talk about what we're doing next. But to, you know, to whet people's appetite, hopefully in March, we're going to do the top 60 prospects in American soccer going this year, guys to watch in 2016. And I think in that chance, we'll get an opportunity to profile more some of these draft picks, but more importantly, these homegrown guys. Because the one thing advantage the homegrown guys have is they're already committed to the team for 2 or 3 years. So they're guys that you're going to see, you know, in the MLS this season, and we'll see for the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, so look out for all of that, and just keep an eye on the site and the Twitter, because yes, the Twitter is not as active. That's partially, I guess, you can blame on me.
It just Mark DeSantos taking our players and bringing them to Soup, or the Soup City or Soup United, yeah. Soup Park.
Yeah,
it's like every guy we rated high on PXI is going to Mark DeSantos. Just like check him on his list.
I have a feeling he's
Mark Gonzalez right there. There you go. That was one of the best signings of the offseason.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think he'll do well there.
Yeah, I do too.
But yeah, so just keep an eye on everything. We're gonna have more content coming out. Like you said.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about it, so yeah. it's not a complete surprise.
So let's get into it now.
Do you want to talk about your project first, or do you want
to? I'll get into mine. So, as I was doing that trip in Jamaica towards the beginning of when the project launched, you know, talking to the academies and just taking in the local football, I think we kind of came up with the idea together, but and then I kind of want to run with it a little bit in terms of putting together a kind of database list of all the young talent that's in those countries. So obviously we're going to start off with Jamaica and then move we're going to start there and then move into some of the other countries in hopefully the Caribbean and definitely in Central America. And I want to focus on the local players because you're already going to know of the guys that made moves already.
Well, I think the theme is, and you know, I think it adds to something on a yearly basis on at this time of year on Red Nation Online. I used to do the top 20 players overlooked by MLS, right? And I had great success with it because it's funny because a few of those players who I've had on that list have been signed by MLS teams this year. But that's basically, I think, the theme of this next project, because while you're doing that, I'm going to start looking at players at other levels of college soccer. We've talked about Canadian CIS and CCAA in the past, and we've done stuff with it. But, you know, probably most people aren't familiar with this, but, you know, I've done a database of it. There's about 8,000 American men's players playing at a college level or higher high school level, pro level. And this includes Division II, Division III, Junior College, NIAI. And I think, to be honest with you, as I was scouting these players, as I was getting information on these players, I think a lot of these players were capable or as good as players who were drafted in the draft. and guys who, you know, I would say in context, I think this is more, and you can, you know, you can comment on the Jamaican side or the CONCACAF side, but, you know, I think as a Canadian, as an American looking at soccer in North America, we have to acknowledge NASL, we have to acknowledge USL as part of the system, as professional teams, as jobs for soccer players. And so it just doesn't end at MLS. So, you know, MLS is going weird directions, they're bringing Portuguese guys and everywhere. So, you know, the chances for these American CONCACAF players are limited or being limited to go to MLS, but there is still opportunities for these players at NASL and USL. And, you know, I can mention it. We're working actually with an agent right now, and there's players being signed in Europe through some of this work we're doing. So, yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah, I will say, just looking through and compiling the database of the different players, within the CONCACAF region, I can say school seems very important to a lot of them.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a lot of them go to these Division II and NAIA and those places, but also I'll say, and it's tougher to keep stats. I'm going to use Jamaica as the example, and it's tougher to keep stats for this, but schoolboy football is big.
Yeah, we actually made a contact of someone who we can probably tweet it at some point, but someone who shows a lot of the games via YouTube, and we had a chance to scout from abroad. You know, you've been there, but we had a chance to scout from abroad, and yeah, it's the same style of play and stuff like that. And it's interesting because two of the guys we didn't mention in the draft preview was Jorginho James and Kevon Frater, right? And it's interesting they didn't get picked, because I think they were far more ready, you know, because they did play for Humberview. They've been successful for Humberview, which is a big, or Harborview, which is a big club in Jamaica. And they seem to me more ready than a lot of the college guys who are available. So I don't know if there was international rules or their contracts or whatever. But it was good to see Frater getting picked up on loan by a USL club. But, you know, we've seen the success. Bembo, Foster, you know, it's not Jamaican, we're Jamaican, or, you know, things like that. It's yeah, or they're proving that they're worth the quality, right? It's you know, if we had no interest in Jamaica, we'd be stupid not to follow Jamaica because of the quality of players that they're developing.
Yeah, and you also tend to notice certain clubs are specializing in this. Like you mentioned, Harborview's one, Cavaliers another
one. Yeah, Cavalier
one.
Looks exciting.
Portmore's another one. Like, there's major talent in those countries that I think it would benefit a USL team greatly to set up shop.
Well, we're also seeing in other countries too. Trinidad has a number of nice young players. You know, Cuba's an interesting country, especially if it, you know, loses its, or becomes more open. You know, there's a love of soccer in that country, and if, you know, if they start developing players.
If I'm one of the Florida teams, I set up shop there tomorrow.
And then, you know, and then we already know with places like Panama, Costa Rica, El Salvador, small countries who play USA and Canada in CONCACAF tournaments and put us to shame, right? So, you know, or we go, oh yeah, it's great to beat Honduras, a country that's like a quarter of our size and 1/100th of our wealth. But so you know, they're soccer countries, which has always been my excuse. You know, this common Canadian question, like, well, why there's so much more support for Honduras than Canada? Soccer is part of their, you know, we have yet, part of, I think it's part of the goal of Prospect 11 is to make soccer part of our, you know, our nature, but it's already part of the nature in those countries.
Mm, for sure.
So just to give you an idea of what's coming up, so we're going to be posting this list, but the other benefit is with the college guys, is I got a chance to speak to a few of them, so we're going to do some interviews with them, and it'll be interesting to get their perspective on why they think their MLS quality, but also, or professional quality, but also their experience in playing in Division II. Yeah, their story is very
strong. Their story should be really good. It should be really interesting. Like, you just talked about Ben Polk
type
of story.
Yeah.
There's tons of stories like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting because one of the guys were, we'll keep it a surprise, but one of the guys were profiling is a guy who made it to the Norwegian Tippeligaen, which is the top league in Norway, at the age of 18, and was actually in the FIFA 2012 video game. So, and then he went to NCAA, right? So there's not many guys who are playing, or you can play in FIFA, who are playing NCAA soccer the last 4 years, you know, in your local city. So, yeah, it's one of the good stories.
Yeah, so just keep an eye on out for all of that stuff. The next podcast, I don't really know.
Yeah, I think the next podcast, we'll probably plan it, well, especially the plan for March, to keep it on a monthly thing. But as I said, our hope then is to do our sort of list of the players to look out for the upcoming season by March. Man, we're already into the season, so.
Yeah, MLS is creeping up.
Oh, yeah, well, all the leagues will start soon after. So, yeah, so we're going to sort of document the guys that we like. And I don't know how we're going to do that. I don't know if we're going to do a draft like we did with the top under 20, but we'll do something exciting and we'll, you know, keep you informed with guys to watch for the whole upcoming year.
Yeah, so look out for all of that. I hope you guys enjoyed the background music.
It's entertained.
And until next time, cheers.
Cheers.